Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to this edition of the Strang Report for Thursday, June 1st. I've got a lot of things to share that I think you'll be excited about. Of course, today is important to me personally, as I'll explain in a minute. It's also the beginning of the month, which makes it the beginning of Pride Month, which we will talk about today. In fact, this afternoon, we're putting online an article by Doug Bankson, who most of you would not recognize his name, although he's well known here in Central Florida. He's a pastor of a very successful, independent, charismatic church. I've known him for years. He was also always one of these pastors who was very concerned about speaking up about biblical values, and he would come to meetings that different pastors would have. I remember that we had an amendment to the Constitution here in Florida that defined marriage as between one man and one woman, and he was very involved. In fact, I think I got to know him back in that time frame. And later on, he ran for the city council in Apopka, Florida, where he lives and where his church is. And recently, he was elected to the state legislature in Tallahassee. And he wrote a very insightful article that you'll want to check out on charismanews.com. It's, we call it an op-ed, an opinion piece. And it's called Pride or Humility. And he's contrasting the biblical concept about humility and what the Bible says about pride, and with the fact that the LGBTQ community has used that term. They seem to own it. It's, you just see it everywhere. Now, for those of you who follow me in my ministry, you know that the big thing for me last month was releasing my new book, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World. It released actually on May 16th. I flew up to New York. I was on several shows up there, including Eric Metaxas, and also Newsmax. And later I did Fox News with Lauren Green and then the 700 Club. And so it was a very busy time. Last week I was at National Religious Broadcasters doing lots of interviews. Today I have already done two media interviews, one in North Carolina, one in Iowa, both of them fairly large radio programs. And that's just kind of my life right now. And you know, I write about the upside down world, and today I'm going to talk about that along with the different things that come up. But I'll say that we're recording this live. It is live, but it'll be recorded, and it's on YouTube, Rumble, and today for the first time on Twitter. And of course, it's also on the Charisma Podcast Network. I've been doing a podcast now since 2015. And it continues to grow, and I continue to appreciate your feedback. In fact, last week when I did a podcast, I offered my book free to anyone who would ask for it. I was kind of testing the waters. I kind of wanted to see what kind of response I got, and I was very, very pleased with the response. Last Sunday, which was Pentecost Sunday, there were two churches here in Central Florida that gave out, in one church, 500, another 300 copies of Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World. And from what I can tell from the response, it was very, very positive. It was kind of an experiment for us. We went to a couple of churches. One of them I attend, City Church, and the other was Church in the Sun by my longtime friend, Alex Glattenberg, who I have now known for almost 50 years. And they're both excellent churches. You know, when we talked about it, I said to them, this book is really very appropriate every day of the year. But somehow when you're talking about the Holy Spirit, it seems appropriate to give out a book on Pentecost Sunday. And I think that also churches often want to do something special on Pentecost Sunday. Where my vision as a publisher and also as an author of this book is to get many, many churches around the country to use this on Pentecost Sunday. Really, I would like for it to become something that happens every single year when Pentecost Sunday rolls around. You know, that is the birthday of the church. It was the day that the Holy Spirit was outpoured. I think most of you probably know that. But it was the day that the Christian church began. And in 10 years from now, we will be celebrating the 2000th anniversary of the church and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, it seems like people don't emphasize that the way they should. In fact, on one of the interviews I did earlier today, we were talking about truth and the fact that a lot of pastors don't really even speak truth. And when you're dealing with the secular culture, the one that is going farther and farther and farther from God, there are some basic truths, such as God created men and women, that people are getting away from. There are people who say there is no God. Of course, they're just because they say that, I mean, it just, you know, in fact, Psalm says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And, but the truth of the Word of God is far beyond those simple concepts. The truth of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is what started the church and what led to the church going around the known world then. The writing of the New Testament, of course, the Apostle Paul was converted shortly thereafter. He wrote a lot of the New Testament, along as well as some of the followers of Jesus. Some of his disciples, of course, wrote the Gospels and some of the other books. But anyway, the thing is that Pentecost is what precipitated all that. And the truth is that the Holy Spirit is alive and real today as much now as then. Absolutely. But a lot of people have forgotten that. In fact, there's a whole segment of the church that teaches that all of this stuff about the Holy Spirit, the gifts, and all of that speaking in tongues was only for the early church, that miracles don't happen, healings don't happen, and so forth. And my book is to focus attention on that, and also to remind the average person that regardless of what your church teaches, what your pastor says, that the Holy Spirit is something that has to empower you, has to empower me every single day of our lives. In fact, we need to carry with us the presence of the Lord and awareness of the Lord. One of the things that I put in the book, in fact, it was the very first sentence I wrote on purpose, is this: the Christian life is not difficult, it's impossible. That is, without the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's really true. In fact, you can't even really come to God. You can't believe in Jesus unless the Holy Spirit opens your spiritual eyes and draws you. But there's so much more. There's so much more that people can have. We call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But if you use that term or not, if you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, if you commune with the Holy Spirit, if you understand that the Holy Spirit is working in your life, I believe that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we could debate this. Many people do debate it. That's not my purpose today. I dive into this in the book. I believe that the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. I believe that speaking in tongues is something wonderful. A lot of people call it a prayer language. And if you just think of it as a prayer language where you can, in your own intimate time with the Lord, as you're communing with the Lord, as you're seeking the Lord, as you're trying to understand God's will in your life or in a certain situation, that the Holy Spirit prays through us in a way we can't even pray ourselves. The Holy Spirit also gives us power to stand up against the onslaught of the enemy. You know, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And these powers would discourage us, defeat us, cause us to give up, cause us to always take the path of least resistance. Some people actually stop serving the Lord, at least in an active way. Some people use the word getting cold. Well, we need to be white hot with passion and enthusiasm to follow the Lord, to walk in His ways, to follow the Holy Spirit. And I believe that my book, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World, will help you do that. Now, I have shared this in other settings, but I want to make it clear right now that you can get this book. It's really available most places books are sold. Barnes & Noble, Mardell's are two large chains. Christian Book Distributors is another large one. Of course, Amazon sells lots and lots of copies. It's easy to go there and to buy it. I pre-ordered it myself, and they sent it out the day of release, and I got it in the mail the next day. They're very good about that kind of thing. But you can also get it at a discount on my own website, which is stevestrangbooks.com. Also, my other books are there, some other information, some things that you want to download and so forth. So you can go to stevestrangbooks.com and order it as well. I do hope you'll order it. I really believe that you'll find it an interesting read, and I'm not just trying to make myself sound like a good writer. I'm a magazine journalist, and I write kind of like magazine articles. Each chapter is like a longish magazine article. It's kind of self-contained. So I talk about the upside-down world and how we live has got to be different than the world, not just to go along, to get along. And then I write about what the gifts are, and I use real life examples. I just don't list them like it's a textbook. I give examples. One of the examples that I even used earlier on another interview was that when it comes to the gift of knowledge, that's a gift we believe where the Holy Spirit gives you knowledge that you would not have any other way. And I use the example of Reinhard Bonnke. He was a great German evangelist. He recently passed away. I had the privilege of knowing him personally for a number of years. He was a great man of God. I attended his funeral, and they said that 80 million people professed faith in Christ because of this man's ministry. But what happened was he had a brother. They grew up in the same home, of course. But instead, you know, here Reinhard Bonnke became a great man of God. His brother went the other direction and wasn't even serving God. He went through a very, very difficult time in his life. And he was crying out to God and saying, God, if you're real, have my brother contact me. Let that be a sign. And of course, I tell the story in much more depth in the book. But at that, apparently the same time frame, at least, Reinhard Bonnke had a dream about his brother falling off a bridge, if I remember the story correctly. And the Lord kind of showed him that his brother was getting ready to fall into hell. And he wrote a letter to his brother and pleaded with him to turn his life over to Christ. And he mailed the letter. His brother got it and replied and said that it was a sign. And he turned his life over to Christ. Well, that's an example of where the Lord showed Reinhard Bonnke something he would not have known in the natural. This is how the gifts of the Spirit operate. There are stories about the gift of healings and the gift of miracles where there's, and I use examples, some of them from people I know personally, some of them from books I've published. When it comes to the gift of prophecy, I actually use some examples from my own life where I have been given words. I don't very often tell my own stories, but in the book, I do share these stories, including one about Jonathan Kahn. Of course, he's the one who wrote The Harbinger, and he's written several other books, the most recent being The Return of the Gods, which was on the New York Times bestseller list. In normal course, it came off the list. And then Glenn Beck, the secular commentator, media personality, discovered the book, and he had been sensing that what was happening in our culture was kind of a return of paganism. And he invited Jonathan Kahn to be on his radio program twice, and then invited him to fly out to Texas to do a television sit-down interview for an hour. And they talked about Return of the Gods. As a result of that media exposure to a different audience, that book took off again. It was on the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal list, all the lists. And it just shows the power, frankly, that Glenn Beck has in the media, but also that it was a new audience who was eager to hear this and learn it. And if you haven't read Return of the Gods, you really need to, because he talks about how these ancient gods that go back to ancient Israel with Baal, with Moloch, the sacrifice of children. There was a female goddess, so to speak, which went by different terms, Ishtar, Ashtaroth, also Venus and Aphrodite in Rome and Greece. And she was kind of the goddess of sexuality. And there were temples, and there were temple prostitutes, and there were her priests would dress up as women. And in some of the ancient writings, they would change their gender, and they would march in the streets and do all kinds of things that when you hear about the gay rights movement, I guess it could be called, you know, it's stunning to see how some of these things have come back. Now, I've been personally concerned with some of the things that I've been reading about Target. We know that Target has been very, very liberal, and now we use the word woke. A number of years ago, they did something with their bathrooms where they, I hope I say this right, but there was a controversy. It would have been 4 or 5 years ago about bathrooms and so forth. That sort of died down. But this latest thing is for Pride Month, they have this whole display, all these clothes with rainbow colors and everything. And there's nothing bad necessarily about the rainbow. In fact, the rainbow, you go back to the book of Genesis, and after the flood, God gave the rainbow as a sign that he would never again destroy the earth with a flood. But it's been kind of co-opted. And the thing that really seemed to get everybody upset was that they had these clothing for children. They also had female swimsuits and so forth with a tuck. Now, I'd never heard of this thing, and I don't want to be too explicit, but transgender, let's see, how is it? Biological men who say they're transgender, we used to call it transvestites. That was men dressing as women. They have a little extra bulge, so to say, and these swimsuits allow it to be camouflaged, I guess. And people have really been upset. In fact, there's an active boycott against Target. I have not traditionally really been involved with boycotts. They tend to come and go. But I can tell you that when Chick-fil-A, the owner of Chick-fil-A, Dan Cathy, or the president, who I know I've met personally, I met the founder, Truett Cathy, several times at conventions and so forth before he died. When they stood for biblical marriage, there was a huge outcry by people who didn't believe in that and who even tried to get them banned to have their restaurants in certain cities. Now, that's kind of died down some, but it just shows that the other side is quick, just like that, to try to cancel or punish anyone who speaks up for biblical values. And now when people are upset about Target, I've been going on YouTube and reading some of the commentators and some of the different stories that have been done about it. You know, there's some of the spokesmen who said, well, we moved the merchandise because, you know, our employees felt unsafe. Well, I'm not sure what happened, but I'm probably somebody went up and griped at them, and the person suddenly felt like a victim. There was somebody on one of the liberal news stations, I think it was MSNBC, was saying that these right-wing people are economic terrorists. Well, I saw something last night with one of the conservative commentators who said there's no way that conservative people are terrorists to Target. But he said, we found this in the file, and he ran this clip of a Target being trashed. It was in Minneapolis. It was during the Black Lives Matter movement. It was Antifa and Black Lives Matter. They trashed a Target. You know, we all saw it on the news. It was not conservative people doing that. And but yet somehow, you know, they've tried to flip it. So anyway, I think that we need to make these big corporations that are trying the left, the woke people put a lot of pressure on them to show that they're inclusive, to show all this stuff. And basically they cave into it. But there are a lot of people, including me, who are offended by that. And we can vote with our pocketbooks. I'm not going to buy anything from Target. I'm not going to go into a Target. I'm not going to go in there and gripe at them or make them feel unsafe. Of course not. But I'm going to use the influence I have to tell people don't shop at Target. I'm just telling you, don't do it. Now, if they back down and apologize to people, then we, of course, need to reconsider these stores. We're not asking them to be churches. We're not asking them to teach the Bible. Of course not. We have freedom in this country, but they can be neutral. They can be neutral. And that's what companies and stores were for a long, long time. But there's an effort to try to mainstream wokeness. I will say that I'm proud of my governor, Governor Ron Santis, who you probably know he announced for president. In fact, I had the privilege of meeting him last week. I am not endorsing him. I want to make that clear. I have been for a long time a supporter of Donald Trump. I've written several books about him. And it's going to be a very interesting election. I will talk in other podcasts about that. But Governor DeSantis has been very, very bold to stand up to this wokeness, mainly at Walt Disney World. And I have written about this before. Early in my career, only a year or two after Disney came to Central Florida, I worked for the local newspaper and had to cover Disney. And I remember that finding out that the state legislature gave them special status. It's almost like they were a separate country in the state of Florida. They did not have to abide by the zoning laws in Orange County where they're, in fact, I had to cover Orange County as a part of my job for a number of years, and all the zoning things, the things having to do with water and sewer, all that kind of stuff, they could make up their own rules. They have their own police department. They have their own jail. They have laws against, how should I say it? Jumping the wall, jumping the turnstile to get in. They can arrest you for that. They have a law that's wrong. Well, I personally think that's wrong, but I mean, how many cities or counties have that kind of law? Of course not. The state legislature has taken that away. Now they're like any other business. They're like SeaWorld. They're like Universal Studios, which have to abide by the local laws. There's a lot more I could say about that. This is coming to an end, and so I'll leave that for another day. But Ron Santis is standing up to them, and he had an expression that I hadn't heard. He said, Florida is where wokeness comes to die. And he said, we need to delegate wokeness to the dustbin of history. Now, as I wrap this up, I want to ask for your help. I want you to share this, put this on social media, share it on Rumble, on YouTube, and so forth, and on Twitter, especially Twitter. We're trying Twitter. That's where Governor Ron DeSantis announced his candidacy. It has changed so much with Elon Musk. That's probably also a discussion for another day. But I need your help to get the word out. Also, I need you to go and buy this book. And if you've bought the book and you like it, and I hope you will, I need you to go on Amazon and write a good review. And I know a lot of you will do that. Sometimes you have to be reminded. But I think that that's a very, very helpful, and I appreciate it. If you have any information you want to give to me personally about your thoughts, responding to anything I've said, you can leave comments. But you can also email me at info@charismamedia.com. That's my company, Charisma Media, one word. And they send along every email, and I respond to them. And next week, I've got some good things lined up. You know that my last podcast was with Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri about his book called Manhood. Just today, we decided to put an article in the next issue of Charisma from his book called Manhood. It's an excellent book. It was an excellent interview. You can find it on YouTube if you missed it. Next week, I'm interviewing Mario Murillo. I'm hoping it's on Tuesday. We'll find out. And I've got some other good things lined up. And so thank you for watching. Thank you for being a loyal follower, not only of me, but Charisma Media. Check out Jonathan Kahn's book. In fact, I'm reaching out to Jonathan. I've done several podcasts with him over time. I want to do another one with him. I'm also reading his new book that we announced at the National Religious Broadcasters last week. It's called The Josiah Manifesto. I'm one of the very first people to read it. It'll be out in the autumn. It is excellent, as all his books are good. This one is a little different because he tells some of his own story and some pretty amazing stories. And maybe I can get him to talk about it a little bit on the podcast and to talk to him about Glenn Beck and some of the reaction with Return of the Gods. You really need to get that book too. And we have many, many good books. Someone told me today that next year we're coming out with 50 new books with Charisma House. And we've got some big ones coming out. We're coming up with books on deliverance and other things. In fact, my book has a chapter on deliverance. I was going to kind of talk through the book a little bit more than I did today, but I have other podcasts coming up. I'm passionate about this message. I hope you can tell that. And I want to get it out, but I need your help to get it out. I really do. There are some media, not only conservative media, but Christian media, that we're doing our best to hold up a standard about the Word of God and to encourage people. It's not all bad. It's not. But if you watch the mainstream media, sometimes you think it's all bad. They don't cover what we do, and often they try to cancel what we do. In fact, I wrote a book called God and Cancel Culture, and it seems to be getting worse and worse. But you know what? We can stand up to it. We can stand up to it. And I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit helps us to be strong, to stand up to all this wokeness, all this ungodliness in our culture. Thank you for watching. God bless you, and tune in again for another episode of The Strang Report.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on YouTube and Rumble, as well as your favorite podcast app at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing to the newsletter at strangreport.com. In an upside-down world, there is only one way to stay grounded. Life is full of twists and turns, successes and setbacks. How can you reach your God-given potential and achieve your dreams? With over four decades of reporting on the move of the Holy Spirit around the world, Stephen E. Strang has firsthand experience of how the Holy Spirit has led him on a remarkable journey of faith and a successful life. In his new book, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World, he will invest his true life lessons into the hearts of readers as he reveals his secrets to having a successful life led by the Holy Spirit. Go to booksbystevestrang.com to pre-order your copy today.